Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I know yesterday we were talking about Roe versus Wade being celebrated and just how disgraceful that was. I mean, it's 40-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion back in 1973. And, you know, a lot of people are familiar with Roe versus Wade and the landmark case, but many are not familiar with who actually Jane Roe was. Jane.
Yeah, so Jane Roe. Now, that's what the case when you have a trial, you know, coming from a law enforcement experience, we always base things on trials, and it's called precedents that are set. And they would go back and they would quote a case, and they would say the state versus or the federal government versus, and right. Or America versus. And you're saying that so Roe versus Wade is two opposite viewpoints coming together, and they're versing. They're basically hashing it out in the court.
Yeah, Wade is actually Henry Wade. He was a district attorney in Dallas. And he was trying to, you know, upheld those laws in Dallas, you know, to keep the sanctity of life.
Right.
And the woman, Jane Roe, her real name is Norma McCorvey. Norma McCorvey, that's her real name. And what's kind of interesting about, you know, this whole case is that she was actually never testified. According to the Blaze, she never actually testified in the court proceedings. And,
but yeah, her name is, you know, her presence, her case, her situation
was just
yeah,
all over the place. You know, allegedly she even admitted to the fact that she lied, that she was raped. All this came out afterwards. And most people don't know that she actually never had the abortion. The case.
She never had the abortion. The very thing that actually brought about legalizing abortions in America for 40 years now, one every 30 seconds, 55 million children Americans have been killed through that. So she never did have it?
No, because the case was actually decided after she had the baby.
So she couldn't have it legally, so she went ahead and had the baby.
Right.
Wow.
And this is amazing, you know, and once you hear more about her story, you know, she's had a really, really rough life. She's a young girl. She was married at a young age, 16 years old, and, you know, had several pregnancies. Actually, she's had three right around that time. Well, after the case, she was a real strong, you know, supporter of pro-choice, which is really, I mean, these words that they give things is so evil. Pro-choice is like really pro-killing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pro-murder, you know?
Yeah.
And for many, many, many years. Well, what happened one time I believe it was in Dallas, an organization, a Christian organization called Operation Rescue, actually moved right next door to the clinic that she was working in.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she was a strong, I believe over 20 years, she was a strong supporter of, you know, my goodness, pro-choice, and she wound up building a relationship with one of the leaders that worked at the Operation Rescue. Well, wouldn't you know that after just some time and building that relationship and them loving on her, Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe in Roe versus Wade, actually gave her life to the Lord. She got
She's
saved.
A Christian.
She's a Christian.
Oh, my goodness.
Not only was she a Christian, she was baptized on national television.
And, oh, my goodness. Is that when she's baptized in a swimming pool?
I don't know if it was a swimming pool, but it was...
Yeah, I think it was a swimming pool. I remember that. She was actually baptized in a swimming pool.
Yeah, and so, you know, she since then has been, you know, just a supporter of life and just been, you know, campaigning really and just speaking everywhere that she can. And she's reported saying that she's felt so sad over her involvement and, you know, in this case and what has happened with all the killing of babies throughout the many years. And she actually wrote a book about her experience called One by Love.
Wow.
One by Love.
They loved her into the kingdom.
Right. I mean, how beautiful is that? And
what's her name?
Norma McCorvey.
Wow.
Norma McCorvey.
Loved in the kingdom.
And I want us to hear straight from her. We have a little small segment where you can hear from her own story, her own words, what she has to say. It's really touching. And in fact, just listen up.
Okay.
Most of you won't recognize me or my real name. It's Norma McCorvey. I'm also known as Jane Roe, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion in America and changed our nation in an unprecedented way. Back in 1973, I was a very confused 21-year-old with one child and facing an unplanned pregnancy. At the time, I fought to obtain a legal abortion, but the truth be told, I have three daughters and have never had an abortion. However, upon knowing God, I realized that my case, which legalized abortion on demand, was the biggest mistake of my life. You see, abortion has eliminated 50 million innocent babies in the U.S. alone since 1973. Abortion scars an untold number of post-abortive mothers, fathers, and families, too. You read about me in history books, but now I'm dedicated to spreading the truth about preserving the dignity of all human life, from natural conception to natural death.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh my, it is. Isn't that awesome? That's so encouraging. And that's what's sort of like what's our life, you know, where
yeah.
Okay, the stuff that I did before I knew Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, I sowed into this whole thing mm-hmm. called the fall of man.
Yeah.
And we have to stand up and say, you know what? But from now on, I found out it's wrong.
Yeah.
And here she is. I mean, Roe versus Wade, a generation, 40 years.
40 years.
I mean, just imagine carrying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And but yeah, she's standing. How important is that? But she was used. Yeah. I mean, was it something like the allegedly the NOW organization, whatever, just took her case and said, this is the one, let's run with it. Like they're doing now
the gun
lobbies are doing now, or the Second Amendment, the people that are against the Second mm-hmm. Amendment, they're just grabbing a case and running with it. But
that's exactly what
And people
exactly.
say that it doesn't, that they can't do nothing. Well, Roe versus Wade proves that you can just grab a case that kind of fits and argue, it gets you before the before the Supreme Court, so you can argue it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said was her case. She said that she was never asked to testify. They, you know, they just took her case and ran with it. She never showed up to court, and she found out about the decision like everyone else in the newspapers and in the news. She had no idea what had happened till afterwards.
Because just lawyers show up when you're in the Supreme Court.
I think
lawyers show up. It's all a whole room full of lawyers, including the ones behind the bench normally.
Wow!
And, yeah, they're all deciding what they're gonna do in the context of that. But yeah, I mean that's us, isn't it?
It is us. It is us, and that's all we can do. Mm-hmm. That's all we can do.
Well, you know that is so important to be able to hear that because that when you look at your own life and you see, you know, I constantly weigh in the balance, and which really humbles us. We realize, you know, we weren't born again the day we were born in the natural sense.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, even though the Lord knew us, we had to openly accept him at some point in our life. And you know, I was older than one when I received the Lord. I believe I was 25 years old. I was 25 years old. And of course you could do a lot of damage by the time 25.
Oh yeah,
sure can. I've proven that theory.
Yeah, right. And so I remember when, you know, I was asked to pray at the city that I grew up in, at that stadium. They bring everybody together to pray. He asked me to pray, and it's like, you know, sort of like the guy that was Legion that got delivered, and he's going like, Jesus, please take me with you.
Yeah.
Please take
me. You don't understand. I got to go.
There's nobody more confident than the people who leave their city and come to yours, and act like they don't have no history.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in your own city like him, you know, you're going like, Jesus, please don't send me here. Let me go with you. Is there a country I can go to? Is there a city?
I beggeth you.
And he says, no, go back and tell them what I've done in your life. Well, they already know what I did in my life. I guess I need to tell them what you've done in my life.
Right.
And so you have to stand up like she did and say, you know what? There's decisions I made that affected people. There's things that I've done that have hurt God's heart and hurt other people and hurt myself. And, you know, I've sinned. Mm-hmm. And I've asked God to forgive me. And he did, and he accepted me, and now I'm his. And he's literally, even though you may remember Roe versus Wade, you may remember Roe versus Wade, that God doesn't remember it.
That's right.
But thank you for bringing it up. It just reminds me of my desperate need for God.
Amen.
And his mercy, right?
Yeah, and you know what a big shot is? A big shot is a little shot far away from home.
That's right.
You know, coming all into a city, acting like you're all a big shot. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all human beings. Especially if we're believers, we're all the same. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to say that God's organizational chart is a pancake chart. It's a pancake chart, and if you know anybody knows how you design organizations, it's a flat organizational structure, which means there's one head, that's Jesus, mm-hmm. and everybody reports directly to him.
Mm-hmm.
And although you may have anointings and gifts that you have to operate in, and people need to relate to those gifts, you're ultimately accountable to Jesus. I mean, you can't put anybody. There is nobody over you in the context of you being accountable to God. There may be people in the response that God's put to lead you and hold you accountable and train you up and to stay rightly related, but you're accountable to God for how you do that. I mean, they do give an account to God for how they handled that, but you give an account to God for how you handled it.
That's right.
And so it's just imagine that, you know, if you go to the military, you have stuff like in the Navy, I think you have admirals and commanders. You have admirals on top and commanders next. And if you're in the Navy right now, you're saying that's wrong. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of describing authority here. It's been a little while. Our boats were made of wood. Anyway, so you have admirals, and then under them you have captains, and under them you have commanders, and under them you have lieutenants and like that. So you have the structure. So you'd have your admiral over lots of stuff, and then you'd have your captain over portions of that, and then you'd have a commander over a part of that, which I believe captain and commanders are switched, and then you have your lieutenants that are over a small little thing, and then it works its way down to enlisted folks, you know, chiefs and sergeants, and it's just this huge, humongous thing, and that is called the chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And something would happen, it would go all the way up, chain of command. Mm. And whoever was up there, right now they're trying to say, you know, I think it was Congressman Rand that said, if I was president, if I was president, Secretary Hillary Clinton, and you didn't read that message from an ambassador crying out for, he didn't say crying out, but asking for more security because mm-hmm. he felt very vulnerable, then I would have removed you from office.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and I'm serious. It's because he was talking about that, and she was saying, no, it's way down the chain of command. You know, it's not me. It's actually somebody that works for me. But the truth is that if you're over it, you know what I'm saying? If you're over it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, I'm using her example, but I remember when she was running her campaign, she was talking to leaders who were over things, and she was saying about things that happened in the organization. And she was describing their life, but she was talking about, hey, to them as they were the leaders of organizations, businesses, and that type of thing. And she was evaluating them based off that and saying that you shouldn't vote for that person. You should vote mm-hmm. for me. And it's like, all of a sudden it's like, hey, switch a little bit. You know, now you're over like the most important office mm-hmm. in the world right now. But with God, it's not like that. I mean, you can blame stuff on people all day long, but God, you report directly to him.
That's right.
Directly to him. And so, yeah, he's going to hold you personally. He's going to hold us personally accountable. And that just, it's just so, that's encouraging to know that, because there's nobody holding you back. There's nobody holding you back but yourself. It's, you know, when we talk about in Romans chapter 13, 1-5, when he talks about all authorities established by God and those who rebel against it, which means to resist or fight against or just don't listen,
mm-hmm.
Rebel against that authority is rebelling against what God's established.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing judgment on themselves. So we don't understand, because sometimes if you think it's not a flat organizational chart, if you would, a family chart, but organizational chart, and that you're not personally accountable to God, the enemy will convince you that men are your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even thinking about God. They may convince you that your husband's your problem. And you're not understanding. You're going to stand alone before God for how you responded to what he expected from you, and your husband's not going to be there. No witnesses, no suspects. You may be thinking that it's your wife, or you may be thinking that it's your children, or that it's your parents, or that it's your boss, or that it's your minister, or that it's your whatever. And the thing is, like, don't work that way. There's two things about that. One is, it's so exciting that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, directly, no chain of command, right to Jesus, right to the throne room, right?
That's right.
And it's also terrifying for the fact that he can call us to his chambers and deal with us, because no matter what happened to us, no matter how people treated us, he's going to hold us accountable for how we responded to what happened to us. So you think about that, an organizational chart of God, that you are directly accountable, but you can directly relate to him too. So that ripping of the veil meant two things, kindness and sternness of God. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.